This is Servant Leader Appreciation Weekend across our Pine Lake campuses. Probably is not a surprise to you that it takes hundreds and hundreds of servant leaders and volunteers to be able to do the ministries of Pine Lake each and every week. From directing traffic to rocking and changing babies to giving away literally tons of food through our care centers each week. It takes a lot of man and woman power, young people power to be able to pull that off. So today we're going to stop and say thank you just for a moment to all of you who serve so faithfully. There's a lady at our Madison campus named Natalie Mahaffey who since the beginning of that campus in 2006 at Ridgeland High School, she has served as a greeter the whole time since then. Our youngest servant leader is a young girl named Rebecca Rain. She's 5 months old. She serves with her mom and dad greeting at our Starkville campus. There's a guy named Stan LaFleur who drives 86 miles one way to church. From Greenwood to Starkville every week where he serves as a spiritual counselor. A guy named Jacob Robinson, a college student, uses expertise in flying drones to help us figure out our traffic problems. There's a guy named Reed Nunley who is a legend at the Reservoir campus who directs traffic out there and he just makes it a lot of fun. A lady named Glenda Rivers who's 81 and still serving strong. Andy Bing who for the last 20 years straight has served in kids ministry. Come on, Andy needs a break, y'all. I mean, that brother has been laying it down. There's a young girl named Julia Dice who grew up with us. She just recently finished up her volleyball career at Ole Miss playing in the NCAA tournament. But every week when she's home, she's serving as a greeter at our Oxford campus. There's the Sherman family at our Clinton campus who has over the years cooked over 3,500 hot dogs and 1,200 hamburgers at different Pine Lake Clinton events. C.J. Stewart told me Jesus fed 5,000. Well, the Shermans are closing in on Jesus pretty quick with all the hamburgers and hot dogs. Now, today we're not asking anybody to serve. Maybe we'll ask you after the first of the year. Today, I just want you to join me in saying thank you to all those people who serve us so well. So would you do that today? Truly, truly, truly. If you have a Bible today, you can open up to Matthew's Gospel chapter 2. And we're going to talk today about learning to let God lead your life. Where in your life right now would you say, man, I really need some leadership. I really need some wisdom. I really need some direction. Man, I don't really know what to do. Maybe you're trying to figure out what to do or not do in a relationship, right? Whether you should take another step or whether you should step back or whatever that looks like. Maybe you're thinking about a change of some sort. Maybe you're thinking about changing high schools. Maybe you're thinking about changing your major. Maybe you're thinking about changing your job. That's a big decision, right? And so you need a little bit of leadership and guidance. Maybe you're just seeking wisdom for a big purchase or a Christmas purchase, right? Because you're looking for that perfect gift. You don't want to spend too much money and feel like you're coming on too strong. You don't want to spend too little money and feel like a cheapskate, right? You want to be just right. And so you need to know what that perfect gift is. I had a friend of mine, we were talking on the phone yesterday, and he said, man, this week I was trying to figure out which deer stand to go to. I had two of them in mind, and I picked the wrong one. Sure enough, the big deer showed up at the other place. You should always pray before you go hunting, fellas. That's just the bottom line on that. All right, there are some bad ways to make decisions, okay? There's some bad ways to be led. One of the worst ways is to follow the crowd. You're just going along with peer pressure. You're just doing what everybody else does. You're just listening to the loudest voice in your ear. That is a terrible way to live your life. It's frustrating. You're never going to find peace and satisfaction that way. An equally poor way is to listen to yourself. To just listen to your own feelings, your own wants, your desires, just whatever I feel like, that's what I'm going to do. That may sound good up front, but in the end, it is not very good. Okay? So those are some bad ways. There's a better way, and that is to at least use your wisdom, your insight, your experience, make a pro and con list, weigh things out, think about what you've experienced in the past, and then make a decision from there. That's better than the bad ways, but the Proverbs even says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. You don't know everything, okay? The best way to be led is listen to God. Let God direct and lead you in your life decisions. That's it. That's what the story in Matthew 2, the Christmas story that Matthew wrote, particularly about the wise men. These are some men who let God lead them in their life. So would you follow along? We're going to read Matthew 2, the first 12 verses. The scripture says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem and said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star in the east and we've come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi, and he determined from them the exact time that the star appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him. Now, after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and they worshiped him. Then opening up their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. The wise men, the scripture that I read called them Magi, that's really closer to the Greek New Testament word. According to the Greek New Testament dictionary from a guy named Thayer, Magi was a name given by the Babylonians, by the Medes and the Persians, to the teachers, the priests, the physicians, the astrologers, the seers, the interpreters of dreams, the augurs, the soothsayers, and the sorcerers. Now, we're not really certain exactly who these men are, but we are certain that at this season of their life, they are clearly following the leading of God. And that's really what I want to submit to you, okay? That God wants to lead your life. That God wants to direct you in every step of your journey. So let's look at their story and learn, what would that look like for me? How can we learn to follow God like this, okay? We'll start with this lesson. The first lesson you're going to learn is that God wants to reveal himself and his ways to you. He desires to make himself known. He's not reluctant. He's not playing hide and seek with you where he doesn't want you to find him. God actually wants you to know him. He wants to, longs to lead your life. If you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you find that Jesus is revealing himself to peasants like Mary and Joseph, to religious people like Zechariah or Anna or the chief priests and the scribes. He reveals himself to even the prominent people, the powerful like King Herod, although Herod rejects him. He even reveals himself to the unlikely, these foreigners, these magi, these wise men. You might think in your own life right now, you're sitting here, you're listening to me and you're like, preacher, God ain't going to talk to me. He doesn't want to talk to me. You don't know my deal. You don't know my story. I've ignored God too long. I'm too far gone. I'm too far past. I'm too uneducated. God might speak to you, but he does not want to speak to me. Well, I'm saying to you, if that's you, the Magi, these wise men ought to give you hope because they are the least likely people on the planet in some ways for God to speak to. At best, they're pagan professors and physicians, but at worst, they're astrologers. They base their lives based on their horoscope. Come on, where you at, Aquarius? Leo, Sagittarius, y'all know what I'm talking about? You base your life based on the stars. They're sorcerers. They're into dark magic. They're into palm reading. These are people who are doing things that the Bible condemns. And yet, God in his grace and love comes to these men and reveals himself to them. These wise men represent that God is willingly wanting to reveal himself even to the furthest away from him. And so I want to put something on the screen that I want all of us to read. Even if you're at home, I want you to read this out loud with me, okay? Read this together with me. God wants to reveal himself and his ways to me. Okay, let's read it one more time. God wants to reveal himself and his ways to me. Okay? You believe that? God wants to reveal himself and his ways to you. The Christmas story is a story about God coming to reveal himself to us. Remember in the chapter before Matthew 2, the angel comes to Joseph because Joseph in his own wisdom has decided, I can't do this. There's no way I can be married to this girl. She's pregnant. I am not the father. I'm out. He's already decided to do it. And the angel comes and says, Joseph, don't be afraid because this is what the prophet said. God's ahead of you. This is what the prophet said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. That's what we just sang. Emmanuel, God, you came to us. please hear me. God wants to reveal his ways to you, just like he did for these wise men, but what he really wants to reveal is himself to you. Because when he leads you in the ways, they always lead you to him. He wants you to know him, to trust him, to love him with all of your heart. That's where these wise men's journey ended up, at a person, a baby, the Messiah, the newborn king. And so they worshiped him. I have full confidence that somebody here, you've been gripping, Lord, show me, is he the right one? Is he not the right one? You're wondering, God, is she the right one or not? Because when I married her, I thought she was right. Right? You're wondering, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how we're going to do this. I know you want to know the way forward. But what God wants to reveal is not just the way forward, but the person of Jesus. He wants to reveal himself to you. And here's what it requires. You got to ask. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things, which you don't even know. Okay? So you got to ask God. God, show me. You want to reveal yourself to me. I want to hear you. But Jeremiah 29 gives us a little bit of insight on that. He says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Do you see it? You're going to seek me, which is an intensive form of a verb in the Hebrew text. It means you're going to persistently, with energy, there's going to have to be some I'm going after this, like the latest, greatest, whatever craze of a Christmas present that everybody wants. I'm going to find it. I'm going to seek you, but I'm going to seek you with all my heart. Here's what that means. It means if God is one of many options, you're probably not going to find him. But if you ever get to the point in your life where you say, God, it's you or nothing. It's you or nothing. I'm searching for you with all of my heart. God says, I got you. I'll let you find me. God wants to reveal himself to you. So how does he do it? Second lesson, God reveals himself in his ways through various means. God wants to, and he does it. He reveals himself and his ways in various means. How does God reveal his way and himself in this story? Well, he reveals himself through a star that appeared and then disappeared apparently and then reappears, which I think is pretty cool. He reveals himself in this story through some different people, right? I mean, these guys are going to the Bible scholars, and Herod says, hey, man, where's he supposed to be born? Where's the Messiah born to be born? A piece of cake? Bethlehem, that's what Micah prophesied. So they're being led through Bible scholars. They're being led through dreams, right? The last thing we hear about them is they have a dream. They feel like it's God, so they don't go back to Herod. They go out another way. God's just slowly but surely directing their lives and their journeys using different things. How does God reveal himself and his ways to you? I think there are a handful of ways that I want to give to you where God might lead you if you let him. One of the ways that he might lead you is through a star. And I'm not talking about a star in the sky, right? Starlight, star bright. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what the Bible says about Jesus. He's our star. In Revelation 22, verse 16, Jesus said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David. I am the bright and morning star. Okay. My study Bible says that the morning star is the one that appears the last part of the night when the night is the darkest and it's the coldest. When it seems like all is lost, that's when the morning star appears. Can I just say to you, somebody here, you feel like God has forgotten you, God doesn't know you, God doesn't see you, God doesn't hear you, God doesn't care about you. And the Word of God just said to you right now, he is your morning star. In the midst of the coldness and the darkness that you are feeling in life right now, Jesus says to you, I'm here for you. And if you wonder if God loves you and cares about you, you look at Christ and what he has done for you. Now, how do we look to Jesus? Well, you learn about Jesus in the Bible. That's another way God leads. It's the primary way God leads. It's through the Bible. This is how these wise men knew what the star meant. How did they know that? I mean, that star means there's a new king in Jerusalem. Scholars tell us most likely it's because when the Jews were deported to Babylon, they probably talked about their scriptures, maybe even left copies of scripture there. These wise men who studied a lot studied and found in Numbers 24, verse 17, this prophecy. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but he's not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel. So they had studied the word, they see this star, and they go, bam, that's it. That's what the Bible said. How did they know the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem? Because the scholars went to the Bible, and it said clearly in Micah, He's going to be born in Bethlehem. The word of God is informing them. Can I say to you, Psalm 119:105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You want to know where to go? Is it dark around you? Do you want to know how to live? Your word is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. Now, the scripture's not just trying to show you the way to go. It's trying to lead you to Christ. Remember what Jesus told the people in John 5:39. You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but it is these that testify to me. So again, go to the word to find out what way I should go, but what you really want is I want to know you, God. I want to know you and the way you would want me to go. For me, the Bible is the primary way that I hear from God for most days in my life. The last couple of weeks I've been reading in the book of Amos and Revelation, and if you've read the Bible very much, you know those are not the easiest books to plow through. And yet I believe there's something for me on every page, pretty much. And this week I read in Revelation where God said, do not fear the future. And I needed to hear that. I read in Amos where God said to Amos, and then Amos is going to say to the king, God's speaking to me, and he said, don't be afraid to find out the truth, and don't be afraid to speak the truth. That may mean nothing to you, but it meant everything to me as I'm trying to let God direct my steps. God will direct you primarily through the word. Sometimes he'll use Christian counsel. Now, originally when I typed that out, I put God speaks through other people, but I erased that because some people are fools and you do not need to listen to them. Come on, can I get an amen out of anybody? Y'all know people there, but do not listen to that guy. Do not listen to that girl. They're not gonna steer you right. God uses Christian counsel. The story in of these wise men is a miracle for sure because a virgin gives birth, but I think the bigger miracle could be that three grown men stopped and asked for directions. That they needed somebody to help them out. And you need somebody to help you out. Proverbs 11:14, where there's no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there's victory. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. So can I ask you, who is a mature believer in your world, your life, where you could go to them and say, hey, I need your advice. Help me. God speaks through Christian counsel. Sometimes he speaks through dreams and visions. God gave these men a dream one night and they received it as a revelation from God and they followed it. Joseph, the husband of Mary, at the end of the chapter, he's gonna follow God two times when he gets dreams. Peter in Acts chapter 10 saw a vision, followed that vision. Paul in Acts 16 saw a vision of a man from Macedonia, follows that vision. Peter quoted a prophecy from Joel in Joel 2:28 on the day of Pentecost. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see vision. Also upon the servants, upon the handmaids, in those days I'm going to pour out my spirit. You see what the word of God's saying? That when Christ ascended into heaven, now the spirit is poured out into all of us. And all of us can hear from God and receive words and visions and dreams from God. Anybody here have a recurring bad dream? Come on, anybody? Come on. My wife and I are the only two people in the whole church who have a recurring bad dream. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You're supposed to be making a presentation at work and you can't get your clothes, you can't find your clothes. You know, you're trying to run from somebody and you're stuck in the mud or, you know, just something that just, it's a recurring nightmare. Now, maybe that's your subconscious. You know, and maybe there's something to that, or maybe it's just bad pizza, I don't know what it is, but sometimes God actually can speak, I believe, through your dreams. When I was in seminary, I had a vivid dream one night where I woke up violently shaking and just saying out loud, I choose you, Jesus, I choose you. And in the dream, God and the devil were fighting over me and I was in the middle. When I woke up, I was saying, Jesus, I choose you. Now, was that God? I don't know, but I'm gonna tell you what I believe it to be. At that time in my life, I was stuck in a besetting sin. Do y'all know what that is? A besetting sin. I can't get out of this. And yet I sensed through that dream, God was saying to me, this is a spiritual fight and you've got to pick. And so I chose to believe that was a revelation for me and took some steps to choose Christ in life. God almost never speaks to me through dreams, but I believe he did that day. God might speak to you that way. Sometimes God will speak to you through open doors. There's an opportunity that falls in your lap out of nowhere, and maybe that is God, and maybe it's not. Okay? But he can speak through open doors, opportunity. Sometimes God speaks to you through the desires of your heart. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it. Now, some of y'all's eyes just got big. You're, oh my gosh, God will give me what I want. Don't miss the point. Yes, he will. If you delight yourself in God, where God is the greatest joy of your life, I commit my way to him. I'm in with you, God. I trust you. Even if you don't do what I want, I still will trust you. Then God says, I've got you. But God can speak sometimes through the desires of your heart. And then one other way God speaks is he speaks through spiritual promptings. This is what I mean by that. Y'all ever feel like you have this sense that, man, I think I should do something. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or I think I should not do something right now. It's kind of like this. It's something inside of you that's telling you what to do or not to do. I think that sometimes that's God telling you to send that text, go there, don't say that. I think to discern the voice of God, the promptings of God, is that me or is that my flesh? You know, is that something God's telling me to do or is that just, you know, what I want to do? Y'all know what I mean? You know, you get so confused by that. How do you learn to discern that it's God's spirit prompting you? Here's what I think it requires. Time, intentionality, and practice. Time meaning you have to set aside time to be with God. Intentionality to say, God, I want to hear from you. And practice to mean, God, sometimes I sense you're telling me to do this. I don't know if it's you or not, but I'm going to take a step and you meet me there. Okay? So you sense that God is telling you to say something to your friend or roommate or the checkout person at Walmart or Target. Here's what I'm asking you to do. You feel like God has spoken that to you and it really makes you nervous. Practice. You go up to them and say, hey, look, this may mean nothing to you. It may mean nothing. But my crazy preacher told me I should do this. I feel like God's telling me to tell you. You with me? And you'll learn, I believe, over time, you can learn to discern when it's God or when it's you. When it's the Lord or when it's your past. Okay? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, it says, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. When you are maturing in Christ and you're walking in obedience, you're trying to get it right, over time, you can learn to discern, this is God and I know it's God. Steve Parton was telling me that Leanne, his wife years ago, was taking one of their kids to the doctor. And on the way out of the doctor, she felt impressed that she's supposed to pray for the receptionist, which is really random. They're on the other side of the glass. It's really random. And so she just walked past it, got in her car and was driving home, but the Spirit wouldn't let her go. God wouldn't let her go. And so she turned her car around, went back to the doctor's office, went to the receptionist, says, I know this is crazy to you maybe, but I feel like I'm supposed to come around there and pray for you. So she went around there, laid her hand on the lady and prayed for her. And while she was praying, the woman was just sobbing, tears. Leanne leaves, gets in her car, is driving home. The nurse calls and says, how did you know to come pray for her? Because that lady is going through an awful time, and your prayer was a kiss from heaven. Don't you want to live like that? Following the prompting of God and bringing his light and kingdom and life to people who are hurting? All of these things, okay, Christian counsel, dreams, visions, promptings, open doors, and desires, listen to me, they all have to be weighed against the word and the character of Jesus. Here's what I mean by that. If somebody tells you to do something, or you feel led to do something, or you want to do or not do something that is against the revealed word and character of God, then you need to reject that feeling, that open door, that want, or that counsel. If it's against the Bible, don't do it. But if whatever you felt led to do, prompted to do, felt like God's speaking to you to do, others are telling you this is the way, if it's in alignment with this book, then you proceed in faith. You proceed in faith. God will show you his way. Thirdly, here's the third lesson. Revelation is an invitation to transformation. Okay, whenever God reveals himself or his word to you, it's an invitation for you to obey and see something transformed in your life. Revelation isn't just for your information. Oh, I know more. At some point, you got to do something with what you know. The wise men see the star and they go. The wise men hear he's going to be born in Bethlehem, so they go. They follow the star again. They hear a dream that says, don't go back to Herod. So they don't go back to Herod. You understand what I'm saying? The revelation becomes an invitation to live a certain way in obedience. Now contrast that with the scribes and the chief priest. Scholars tell us that 72 men, kind of the Sanhedrin council, the people who were over civil and religious life for the nation of Israel. They have revelation. They know where Messiah is going to be born. There are these three weird dudes dressed like who'd have thunk it, standing here saying, the Messiah's been born, and guess how many religious leaders who have revelation, guess how many go to see him? None. The whole city is in an uproar. Guess how many walk to Bethlehem? None. Y'all feel me? It doesn't do you any good to have the revelation of God, of the way of God, the heart of God, if you're not going to do something with it. When I was in New Orleans years ago, I would go to a book fair, the New Orleans Symphony Book Fair. My dad had told me about it. He used to go to it. It's a place where you could find rare, expensive books cheap. People would donate their libraries to the New Orleans Symphony, and then they would sell them over a weekend. And like you could buy incredible books for $1, 75 cents, $2.50. It was nuts. And so I would get up early in the morning, open at 9 o'clock. On opening day, I would get there at 4:30. I want to be the first in line. Well, one particular year, I slept in a little bit too long, and when I got to the New Orleans Lakefront Arena, there were two older ladies in front of me in the line. And I'm like, oh, shoot, if they're going for the religious books, this is going to be bad. I hate to truck a woman, but I would in Jesus' name. Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, I ain't passing, right? So we're talking, we got a couple of hours to kill, so I asked them, I said, hey, what kind of books are y'all after? And they said, oh, we're after cookbooks. I said, well, that's awesome. Y'all like cookbooks? Yeah, we like rare cookbooks. And so we just collect a lot of cookbooks. And so I asked the obvious question. What would you ask a person who collects cookbooks? What do you like to cook? And they both looked at me and said, we don't cook. We just like the cookbooks. Okay, so do not look at your wife or your girlfriend or your mother right now and say, was that you? Were you in New Orleans? Okay, don't do that. But my question is, who in the world collects cookbooks and doesn't cook? Why would you do that? In the same way, why would you want to know the word and the heart of God and then do nothing with it? What's the point? It doesn't matter if you can preach like a prophet, sing like an angel, teach like a boss, but your life's not being transformed. What are you doing? Revelation is awesome. You need it sometimes. You need God to speak a word to you, and you need to just stand in that word. And there are times in my life when God speaks into my life, and it's just, I don't need to do anything. I just need to rest that God has it. But most times when God speaks a word to you, there is an action required with that revelation, with that call of you. James 1:22 says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude, who kid themselves. It's only those who do the word of God that are pleasing to God, that experience his best. James 4:17 says, therefore to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it's sin. Sin's not just when you do wrong. Sin is also when you know the right thing to do and you're not doing it. Revelation is an invitation to transformation, for you to obey the word. A disciple learns from Christ, lives in Christ, and then leads other people to Christ. And so when we talk about an L3 Bible reading plan, yes, we want to read, but then there's a little acronym that helps us to apply what we read, to know how to put this into practice. The acronym is REAP. Whenever you read the scripture, you want to come back and reap. You read, you put down a verse. This is the verse that means the most to me today. And you write it out by hand. Then you examine. You say, this is what happened in the Bible. These wise men followed God's leading. Then you apply it. I think God wants to lead me. And here's how, in what I'm facing today. I got a meeting. I got to have a conversation. I got to do this or that. God, you want to lead me. My prayer, Jesus, show me. Holy Spirit, show me the way to go today. Y'all with it? And every day you can learn how to do this. That's what we want to help you to do, is be a self-feeder for you and God, to have a relationship where y'all are walking and talking together every single day. Now, if you're stuck, and some of you are stuck, and it's okay to be stuck. I've been stuck too. But maybe there's a place in your life where you know the right thing to do and you're just having a hard time getting it done. Can I speak two things over you? The first one is this: pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, because you're not going to do it in your own strength. So pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I got a verse for that, Philippians 2, verse 13. For it's God who is at work in you. It's God at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That God's Holy Spirit lives inside of you as a follower of Jesus, and he wants to help you will, to want it, to choose it, and to work, to empower it for his good pleasure. That God can give, change your desires and give you the strength to do it. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit and you don't carry out, won't carry out the desires of your flesh. So Holy Spirit, help me. If I'm stuck, Holy Spirit, help me, change me, give me strength. And then the second thing is, just do it. Just take a step and do it. Now, when I say just do it, y'all think about a pretty prominent company out there, if that's their logo, just do it, okay? So on the count of three, tell me the company that their motto or logo is was just do it. One, two, three. Okay, you just spoke Greek. Like, legit. Nike got their name from the Greek language. Nikeo means victory. So listen to me. Your victory, your breakthrough, your experiencing of God's best happens when you just do it. When you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you and you walk by revelation, that's when victory comes. But revelation is an invitation to obey and be transformed, okay? That's what it is. Here's the last lesson. Living by revelation is risky, but it's worth it. It's risky, but it's worth it. It was risky for these wise men. They risked a long and a dangerous journey. I looked it up. It's roughly 650 miles from where these men likely were. Think present-day Baghdad, Iraq. 650 miles from there to Jerusalem. If you're interested, it's a 247-hour walk, Google Maps said. 247-hour walk across the desert. I was talking to a friend of mine who's been deployed in Iraq before, after the first service today, and he said, I've walked that place, I've flown through that place, I've driven through that place, and you need to know, man, that is a deserted, dangerous, awful place. It's risky, 2,000 years ago, for these three guys to strike out across the desert with treasure, to go find a king who may or may not be worthy of the gifts that they're about to give. It was risky. They were balling out, man. They were giving some great gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts fit for a king. It's risky. It was risky for them to say to Herod, no, we're not coming back to see you to tell you where we found the king. Y'all know Herod was crazy. He ordered the slaughter of every baby boy 2 years old and under in Bethlehem, right? These men are taking a tremendous risk by not following what the king said. And it leads me to say to you, just honestly, soberly, following Jesus for you can be risky. It very well could cost you fame if that was your goal. It could cost you friends. It could cost you money. Sometimes people say, you know, being in the will of God is the safest place to be. I say bull. That's not always true. Ask Daniel and his three friends. Ask John the Baptist. Ask Jesus or the disciples. Ask one of the 5,621 Christians who were martyred in the world last year. Following Jesus is a risky place to be, and it may very well cost you everything, but it's worth it. It's worth it. These men who risked everything, experienced life. Man, they're on an adventure. They got a story to tell. They experienced miracles from God. They saw Jesus, God among us, and they are remembered now forever as a part of every Christmas nativity set. That's a pretty cool thing. These guys are remembered. Why? Because they went with what they received. If they had just gotten the revelation and stayed in Babylon, nobody would even know their names. But they made their mark because they lived by revelation. It becomes an adventure, life does. Whenever you're, and you begin to experience God and see Him do miracles in and through your life when you follow His lead. My wife is a very spiritually sensitive person. She's sensitive to God's leading and promptings of His Spirit. She's very attuned when it comes to God speaking something to her, and it's not unusual for her for God to put the most random people on her heart a lot of times when she wakes up in the morning. And so she typically will reach out and say, "Hey, God just put you on my heart." Roughly a decade ago, 10 years ago, she felt prompted to reach out to and encourage a friend of ours that we knew had been in a pretty rough spot in his life. She felt prompted to encourage him, and so she randomly sent him a text first thing in the morning. This past week, nearly a decade later, he responded. Makes me feel a lot better about myself, y'all. I asked him if it would be okay if I read his text to you, and he said yes. This is what he texted Christy this week. "My mind has become a bit clouded from the last 5 to 10 years of what I've said or haven't said, but I really felt the Holy Spirit was asking me to share this with you. In July of 2015, I was in the darkest place I've ever been in my life. I've certainly had tougher seasons since then, but purely spiritually speaking, it was really dark. If I'm being totally honest, I was really in a demonic place. I was exposed to realms of darkness during that time that are frightening to even consider at this point. I was extremely messed up on substances one night, and I fell asleep. At the end of my dream that morning, I vividly saw myself enter what I interpreted to be hell and then heaven. I woke up, and that's when I received your text. You told me that you didn't know what was going on with me, but that God had placed me on your heart, and you just wanted me to know that I am loved by you and I am loved by Jesus. I came home from that dark place the next day. And I truly gave my life to Jesus for the first time within the next 2 weeks. I just wanted to tell you thank you for interceding on my behalf and caring enough about me to pray for me and for being bold enough to send me that text. You saved my life that day. I've had some tough times the last couple of years, as I'm sure you know. There have been levels of protection and His pursuing me during that time that are impossible to explain. But for me, it now all comes back to that moment when I received your text. And I just want you to know I appreciate you and the motherly love you have always shown to me." Following Jesus is risky. Not everybody Christy has sent texts to have responded with kindness. But it's worth it. It's worth it to know that you don't have to have your life all put together for God to use you, because 10 years ago, she was in a totally different place than she is today. And yet she was following God, just doing what He said to. There's something about that God could use you right where you are. And it's so worth it for the person who receives that text, and you don't know how their life's going. They're hanging on by a thread, maybe in a battle you know nothing about, but it is so worth it whenever they text you a decade later and say, "You saved my life that day." And so I don't know where you're at in life. I would imagine that there are many of you here today where the Spirit of God is saying to you right now, your next step is to start living, responding. When I prompt you, you go. You get in the Word, you do it. Whenever I prompt you, you say it or you don't say it, you follow my leading. And if that's you, I want you to say, God, I'm in. I want to live by revelation right now. But I got a feeling there's somebody here today, somebody watching, somebody worshiping with us today, and you're the one who's like the Magi. You're on the backside of the desert. You're far from God. You're in the foreign city, in the dark, hanging on by thread, and God had you tune in today so that he could say to you, you are not too far gone. God is with us. He came for you. He loves you, and he wants to bring you home if you'll let him. And so would you today in faith say to God, I'm here if you want me, I'm yours. And would you let your life be your gift back to him? Come on, across every room right now, could I lead you to pray? I don't know what God might be saying to you. I don't know what you're going through, where you are, but God's talking to you right now. Would you listen? Just say, God, show me. Show me. Maybe you need to pray, God, help me. Change my heart. Change my wonder, God. Give me strength to do what I know you're telling me to do, whether that's move or wait, whatever it is. God, help me. In just a minute, I'm going to close our prayer time. We're going to stand up and sing one last song where we just invite the Holy Spirit to fall like rain on us. And I'm going to have some friends at the front of every room. There's some online if you're watching online. But today, if you sense God is speaking to you, that you need someone to pray for you, encourage you, you need wise Christian counsel just to speak life over you, when we stand up and sing the last song, this is your time just to come get that help. You can wait till after the service. We'll still help you, but this is your time right now. And so whenever we stand and sing, would you just follow what God is leading you to do? If it's to give your life to him for the first time, you just walk down to the front and say, hey, look, I don't even know what this means, but I just know I want God in my life. We'll take it from there. We'll help you. But you take your next step. Lord, we love you. We bless you. You loved us first. You reveal yourself to us first. And God, now we say to you, we receive it. God, direct our steps. God, bring your kingdom to us and bring it through us for your glory in Christ's name. Holy Spirit, fall like rain. Amen.